bumpers. I wanted to get bumpers made for the show for season two. And I did. I paid someone on Fiverr. We got them back. What was your first reaction?
They're pretty mid.
Mid. Yeah, I wanted new bumpers for season two. Kind of arranged it last minute. Got them in time. But nobody likes them. I don't like them.
I did laugh at some of the words that you chose or some of the possible segment names that you chose.
Yeah.
I really did appreciate the really cringy voice saying, "What would Tuckman do?"
I can't even do it like they did it. What would Tuckman do?
Some good voice filters.
I did really want the, I did really want to keep the, "I'm so bad" says the craziest things.
It is true.
So I think I'm just going to have to make them myself as we progress through season two. Like today we're doing a quick fire challenge. Quick fire challenge.
We're just going to be flush with outtakes.
Quick fire challenge.
Quick fire challenge.
Oh, that's better. I'll use that.
I'm Hunter Pence and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we start taking resources for a card in splendor one turn behind our opponent. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. And I'll tell you what, Mark, I really like splendor. I know I'm late to the party that this wasn't a game that just came out, but I finally got the chance to play it last week. So with 1 week left in the year, best game of the year. Loved it.
It's high praise. I feel like you played a lot of games that you were very in love with this year.
I did. I played a lot of games.
Gloomhaven,
Frosthaven,
Cryptid,
my Gen Con Game of the Year Adventure Party. I mean, I bought a Board Game Arena account just so I could play with you one time.
That's dedication. It was fun. I liked it too.
You know what else is fun?
Dance fighting.
No, dance fighting. Well, it's fun for you.
Pickleball.
Pickleball is fun.
For you.
Season two, pickleball. No, this is season two.
A real live season two.
And we have joked in Discord, we have joked on the show a few times about season two. That's because it was kind of a running joke in our previous podcast. We never got to a season two. In fairness, we did almost 100 episodes. We just never transitioned into a second season. But now I get to. When I upload this episode, I get the click season two from the dropdown.
I'm sure that'll be, as someone who likes organization and, dare I say, systems?
Business?
We're still doing it backwards.
Yes.
But I can see how that would be like a viscerally pleasant experience for you.
Click yeah.
One up, reset.
I mean, and among some other things for season two, the format of the show is going to be a little different. We used to go, where are we? What are we working on? What's next? That's all just going to become, where are we? And this will be the heart of each show. In addition to where are we, we'll have a rotating set of segments and we're lining up guests. But of course, the biggest change this year, Mark, is we're going to be telling the singular story of one of the games we created in season one. This season should be more cohesive and walk you through the development from the very beginning of this game to hopefully the point where we can say, yeah, let's go to crowdfunding. I think we're ready.
I think it's time we stop teasing the audience, Jason. We talked about at the end of season one that we weren't sure what the game was going to be. And we promised that we would tell everybody today. What's the game?
Right after this message. I'm just kidding.
What a
I can't put that in. No, the game is Animal Kingdom. We have selected and chosen the build Animal Kingdom. And if you've been following us, you know a little bit about it. If you're new, we got you in a couple minutes. Today's episode is sponsored by Rebel Raptor Games. Rebel Raptor Games is a new indie board game publisher focusing on making games that are perfect for kids and new players, but are just as fun for seasoned gamers. Their first game, Raising Rabbits, launches on Kickstarter in March. Follow them on Instagram at rebelraptor.games or visit rebelraptor.com to join their mailing list for exclusive updates. We've told them the game, Mark. It's Animal Kingdom. But before we get into where are we and talking about Animal Kingdom, new segment. Quick fire challenge. I'm supposed to use yours. I think you just said quick fire.
Quick fire. Too much.
It's quick. Quick fire challenge. Quick fire. We're working on the bumpers. So this segment, quick fire is a short gamified exercise to keep our minds thinking about game design. And our first quick fire challenge is what I'm calling random word game. Random word game can go a lot of different ways. I'm going to do what we did this week on Blue Sky. If you're not following us at The Misplay, Blue Sky, where I posted a random word and I asked people to create a board game title and then give a one sentence description explaining what the game is.
I think this will be a fun exercise. It's not necessarily going to be like deep nitty gritty into game design, development, balancing, or things like that, but it'll live more in the world of concepting, kind of in the idea generation space that we've spent a fair amount of time living in, but it's good to stay in as we move into different parts of developing Animal Kingdom.
I'm using randomwordgenerator.com, the go-to, I guess. I'm going to click it. First word, I'm going with it. I'm not going to fish for something.
No rerolls.
No reroll. Tender. Tender. Showing gentleness and concern. Easy to cut or chew, not tough. Sensitive to pain. Currency. Young, immature. You can go a lot of different places with this. Tender.
My game is called Legal Tender. It's a finance game where you try to affect the economy of the game to make the materials that you sell more likely to be selected to create a new currency.
Nice. Let's see.
Stay away from dating game.
I was just going to do dating game. I was doing dating game. That's what I was going to do. I have to close my eyes to think. Tender mercenaries. Yeah, I like your reaction. In Tender Mercenaries, there are a group of people, there are characters, NPCs that have to be essentially assassinated, and you have to do it in the most kind and loving way.
It's incredibly dark. Sounds like a great tabletop RPG.
Tender Mercenaries.
Let's roll up characters. I'm ready to go.
Quick fire. Now over.
See, it was a good exercise. It was fun. Your game was actually way different than anything I think you would have come up with in a different setting.
I will say that it wasn't easy. While the audience gets, you know, the podcast version of that, there was like a minute there of me in the tank trying to figure out what my game was. That's a skill that I'd like to develop faster, further, harder, stronger. Faster, harder, stronger, something.
There's some pop song there. This would be a good exercise when we have a few minutes of downtime together, like maybe lunch breaks.
Yeah.
We should play this week, and then maybe if we find some good ones, we'll share the best ones on Discord or Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
Hashtag misplays.
Hashtag quickfire.
Oh. Let's quickly turn our attention to, how did you say, the heart of our show, the meat of the show?
Yes.
Yeah. The bones?
The heart is what I said.
Tender.
Tender.
Where are we?
We're building a game. And I know I said that a year ago. And as it turns out, you can't just build a game when you don't have any game ideas or a flimsy plan to build that game. The game that we're building is tentatively called right now Animal Kingdom. That's what we've been calling it. And if you listen to season one, you heard how we got to it and all the games that it nearly was. If you're new to the podcast, if you're listening for the first time, Animal Kingdom is a social game aimed at casual board gamers. It's election season in the Animal Kingdom. You play the role of an animal vying for the most votes to be the ruler of the jungle. You develop your platform of soft and hard stances, debunk slander from your opponents, throw shade accordingly, and try to come away with the most votes when the polls close.
It's a good elevator pitch. I feel like our elevator pitch has come a long way.
Yeah.
Ding. So with that in mind, I feel like you've painted a good context of what kind of narrative, what kind of world players can expect to imagine themselves in, if that's something that players are into. For our purposes, if you want to think a little bit more about the physicality of the game, how the game would look, sound, feel as you play, we've already talked about the objective of the game is to collect the most animal voters and be elected the ruler of the jungle. This is largely a card game, but you can imagine a playing space where you have a center board where the animal cards, we'll call them voter cards for now. Voter cards are set in the middle, and then play will go around your playgroup in a turn order, and players have access to three different kinds of cards. There are hippo cards, which you use to oppose your opponent's stances. There are hard stances, which strongly bring voters to you. And there are wild cards, which will have a variety of different effects on the game state. Each player will start with some number of those cards in hand and then move through a turn sequence where players take turns taking an action. The actions in this game are taking a soft stance, banking a voter, or playing a card. Those actions all affect or adjust where the animal voters are located accordingly, and then the turn will pass to a new player. At the end of the game, after a determined number of rounds, when the campaign season ends, players have one final chance to win the votes of undecided voter cards. The player with the most banked votes wins.
That's a good description. I know it's challenging on listening to a podcast to, you know, see how a game is played, but that was a pretty good description, Mark. You know what would be really interesting? We have to save that clip, play it, end of season two. So last episode of this season, when we're ready to say, yeah, game is ready. How close is the game to what you just described?
Our thinking is it's not going to be very close, right?
You know, what's really interesting is that everything you described, I think can still be the core. Like, that's the core of the game. But what we didn't talk about were any of the mechanics under that kind of underlie that, right? We're saying you get cards, you play cards, but we're not telling you exactly how or when or, you know, what those effects are going to be. I think all of that can change. I think the core of what you described should be accurate. I think when season two ends, when we're ready to say, yeah, we got it, I think that's what the game still is. But the way we're playing it right now, I think will change quite a bit. But who knows? Maybe it'll be a trick-taking game for tricksters.
Who does know?
And I've said it, that's what I'm most excited for, is that overhaul, that change to the game, working with a group of people to make this fun, to make it replayable, to be really proud of it.
I agree. I think this is the fun part. And I know I've said this before, but the joy of this project for me is the social component and the collective work on building the game more than the details of the mechanics. I know those will change and that'll be an interesting thing to be a part of. But at the end of the day, I'm more attached and I take more out of the social collaborative component than ultimately what mechanics fall or how the end game plays or what we name victory points.
Yeah, I'll say that I have been really rejuvenated lately. I want to take a minute to pause and shout out Scott. Scott is a member of the Misplay, and for the last couple of months, as much as, you know, you and I are the face of the Misplay or the voice of the Misplay, Scott's been driving everything. Scott has been working really, really hard. He's totally reworked the website. We're no longer using Wix. He's rebuilt the website. The newsletter is now going through a different service called Button Down. Saved us a lot of money. He's automated the podcast to our website. He's automated it to YouTube. It's now on YouTube, but it's just audio for the moment, for now. We're setting ourselves up for the future. Mark is kind of like looking away. I've already told Mark that my season three goal is to be live on YouTube with video. That's my That's my out there goal. I think podcasts are great. I do think we have to start showing the audience more things. And I don't think we're going to be able to do all of that through Instagram. So, you know, recording a playtest session of Animal Kingdom when we have physical copies in front of us, I think would be very interesting to show. And I think we just have to start thinking about those things.
I would echo all of your sentiments about the work and the time that Scott is putting into the show, the team, the game. I'm not sure what the best way to express the level of gratitude we feel towards Scott is, because for me, it's a very heartwarming thing to see someone work so diligently and passionately towards a goal and a project that we started, but people have joined in, and the level of support and dedication that Scott provides is a hard thing to measure, even when you and I are telling Scott, please do less. it's really touching to see that level of commitment.
Now, if you are just joining us for season two, welcome. I want to give you a 30-second recap of last year, though. So here's the misplay in 30 seconds. We wanted to build a game. We didn't know how. We built some simple concepts. We went to Gen Con and saw how deep we were in it. We rallied the misplay team behind us. We brainstormed, we playtested, we voted, and we decided to build this game, Animal Kingdom. That's 30 seconds. That was last year.
It sounds like you need to put it to a song. I thought the first couple of lines, I was like, oh, this isn't going to be a great song. This could be like the misplay single. But well, not the dating kind.
Well, if this part makes the show, the audience heard it. I put some music. And if you followed us the whole way last year, you might perk up when we say MMA Gauntlet or Supermarket Game or the dating game, Nightmare Smashers, some form of a trick-taking game for tricksters, Depths. They all exist. All of those games that we were working on last year, they exist. They're there. And the misplay is more than just Mark and I. There's a handful of people on the team. We'll spend this year getting to know some of those people. Scott was one of the people we just talked about. If we're going to be successful as a company, as the misplay or misplay games, we're not just going to live and die with Animal Kingdom. There's other things that we are passionate about that we want to continue working on. One of those, Mark, trick-taking game for tricksters. I know we almost had an 11th hour reconsideration for your game. And I don't think we should let those things go. Depths, we should not let it go. We should continue to develop it, because I don't want to, yes, we're trying to build Animal Kingdom. I don't want it to be the only thing we ever do.
There's that optimism from you again.
We made a decision though for season two, for this season, we're going to be focusing on Animal Kingdom and its story. That's what season two is. Season two is us building Animal Kingdom and telling its story.
Yes. True.
Just need the confirmation. Step one of that, we needed a project manager. We needed somebody to drive this thing.
I'll get you your world's best boss mug.
Thank you. And that is me. I am the project manager for Animal Kingdom. And I posted this week, I keep saying it, Blue Sky. I posted on Blue Sky that the hardest part about making a board game is watching me do it. The first thing that everything kind of pointed towards was we needed a roadmap. We needed to map out the scope and sequence of building this game. So I sat down and I did that. I've mapped us out for at least a year. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to say at the end of this season that this is the game that we want to take the crowdfunding. We're ready. It's there. And there's milestones all along the way. There are stretch goals in there. We want to be in the first exposure playtest hall in Gen Con. We don't know how yet, but you know, we know that application will open up later in the year and we can apply for that. But if we can't be there, we'll be somewhere else. There's lots of places that we can take our game to have people playtest it. There are things in the roadmap I don't know how we're going to do yet. Art. You know, I have it kind of laid out. This first month is us figuring out who's the audience for this game. Who do we want to make this game for, or who would play this game? And figuring out what the pros and the cons are of the game right now. There's lots of pros, there's lots of cons. We made a list as a team. And I said in the meeting with the team, I said, this game is done when there's no cons left on this sheet. What'd you think of that moment? That was my Jerry Maguire moment. Who's coming with me? Like, that was my big moment.
I think it's a really ambitious criteria to say there's nothing about this game that I don't like. I like the developing and revising process that the pros and cons list invites us to participate in. And I think when we get to the next meeting or subsequent meetings where we're revisiting that list, I think I would advocate for coming up with a criteria that isn't just, we believe the game is perfect. Because I think, while I think it is very possible to get to a point where, yes, we're confident we believe in the game and we're going to bring it to crowdfunding, I don't necessarily think that that means the absence of things that we wish were different about it. Because there'll always be something.
I think that's fair. I think it just sounds cool, right? It just sounds cool.
It does sound very business movie. Or like, 7 steps to running an excellent business.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah, finally. I knew you'd be ready.
Oh, no.
So we have this plan, and we're so far following it.
Day one, pretty good.
Hey.
If you had to guess, I know the roadmap like outlines the like big picture vision. We're not doing a necessarily what's next for the show. But if you had to guess, what is the next 2 weeks of Misplay work look like?
The next couple of weeks, Mark, are about your favorite word. It's about systems. It's about streamlining how we are going to tackle everything that's in the roadmap. How, you know, and some of these things are small changes. These are, you know, cleaning up Google Drive and Discord, getting all of our communication in one spot. We have to organize how we are going to develop the game. Who is taking the lead on the development? And where are we putting all of those things that we're working on, right? A change log is a good example for the rules. Where are we putting our notes? Where are we saying, this is what we want to work on right now, and who's going to do it? And when are you going to do it? We are trying to figure out how we are going to use our weekly meeting. We have this hour and a half meeting every week, and I think we have to figure out how to use that hour and a half, because we can't only work an hour and a half a week, right? We have to be doing things outside of that meeting window, and figuring out who's doing what and when they're doing it is a big part of the next couple of weeks.
I think that's a really apt description of where we are and where we need to go, more specifically where we need to be going forward. It's been present in my mind for a little bit about how we're going to organize the logistics and manage the time so that we can work and build to a product that we're really going to believe in and enjoy and meet the aspirations that we've set for ourselves. So I do think the investing in the organization on the front side, like you said, goes a really long way into setting ourselves up in a way that we'll be able to use our time well and be more likely to be successful going forward.
Not only are we creating a game, Mark, we're creating a podcast. What does the audience have to look forward to this year?
I'm hoping we spend more time sharing about how we're developing the skills of being game designers. So more exercises like Quickfire or finding other ways to bring smaller bite sizes of game development, whether it's specifically talking about Animal Kingdom or about more abstract things like, here's how we're playtesting. Here's what we're looking for. Here's what we do during a playtest. And really sharing more of what our creative and developmental process looks like for the game, because that's not something that we got to do last season.
And we've said it many times. We are not telling people how to make a board game. we are showing you how we are building our board game. And we invite you to be part of that process, whether that's interacting with us on Blue Sky or on Instagram or joining our Discord. However you want to participate, we'd love to hear from you. You can find all of our information at themisplay.com. All of our links are there. You will also find we are starting to publish some articles on the website. Peter wrote up a fantastic article that kind of gives you a little bit of a little bit more behind the scenes. And if you are listening along the way and remember the dating game and you think, oh man, what happened to that? Peter's got a really good article about that.
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord. Hello, and welcome to The Misplay, where we start
taking... Mark starts talking while I'm still taking a drink.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
You just like head down, just started the show. Didn't even look at me. Didn't even go like, is he ready? Does he have a chai tea in his hand?
I took a deep breath for myself. I was prepared. Can we start the show now?
We can.